take your Bibles. We're back in Luke chapter 2 tonight. We're going to start right where we left off last week, actually with the same verse that we ended last week with, Luke chapter 2, verse 40, where the Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And again, I mentioned it as we finished up last week, but this verse is... it is a verse that comes right after Jesus' presentation in the temple when his parents took him there for his circumcision, when Mary went there for her purification sacrifice. After the presentation in the temple, and I mentioned this last week, is when the wise men came, when Joseph and Mary with a little baby Jesus, in response to a dream that God gave Joseph, fled to Egypt in order to escape Herod, who was trying to kill the one that the wise men had said, "Hey, we saw a star, the one that's born king of the Jews." And if you remember the story, he went into the region where the wise men, the region of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, where the prophets said Jesus was going to be born, and killed everybody that was 2 years old and younger, making sure that he would get the one that was born king of the Jews. And so it was after Jesus' presentation in the temple that the wise men came, that they fled to Egypt. And again, Luke doesn't record that. He probably wrote after Matthew. Matthew had recorded the visit of the wise men. Matthew had recorded the trip to Egypt. And so Luke probably just said, "Hey, I can't add anything to Matthew's record. I'll just let that stand as the record." And so he picks up in verse 39, "And when he had performed all things according," and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, again, Mary's purification and Jesus' circumcision, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And again, mentioned last week, don't know for sure, but most Bible scholars think that Jesus was about 3 years old when they came back from Egypt and went home to Nazareth. And so in verse 40, where we ended last week and we're going to start tonight, Luke actually covers about 9 years in Jesus' life, because we're going to read about him in the next few verses being 12 years old. So in verse 40, the Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, that word "grew and waxed" means gradual growth, but continual growth. And so he grew physically. As he grew physically, he got stronger. And the Bible says that he was filled with wisdom. And again, that word "filled" means a continued process of learning. I mean, he was God, but he was also man. He was completely God and he was completely man. And as a man, he had to learn just like we do. And so when it says he was filled with wisdom, he was filled with wisdom from his parents, from his Joseph, his earthly father, and Mary, as they taught him about life, about God, you know, everything that parents are supposed to teach a child. He probably went to school with the other boys in the city of Nazareth, and was filled with wisdom as well. And so again, it was a continued process, just like children do today. They grow, they get stronger, they get bigger, they get wiser as they go to school and learn different things. And again, the fact that Jesus did that doesn't detract from the fact that he was God. He was God. He knew everything. And yet he was completely man. And the fact that he had to grow and the fact that he had to learn doesn't take away from his deity. It just emphasizes his humanity. Apart from sin, he identified completely with mankind. And you stop and think about it. In all of history, this was the only little baby that grew up and became the man that God wanted all mankind to be. I mean, when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he created Adam completely, you know, as an adult. Some people debate on how old Adam was when he was created. He was an adult. But he was exactly what God wanted him to be until sin came into the world. Now, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit, he no longer was becoming what God wanted him to be. I mean, he might have still grown closer to God. He might have been still seeking God's will, but sin messed it up. Well, Jesus didn't have sin. He never sinned. And so here was a life, from the only one in all of history, the only one that will ever be in all of history, that was born as a human being, grew up, and became the kind of mankind that God intended for everybody to be. Look at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So his parents, Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem every year. Feast of the Passover was a seven-day celebration remembering the Passover, that event in Egypt that was connected to the last plague, where God sent a death angel to Egypt and said, I'm going to kill the firstborn in every family. Remember, God was trying to convince Pharaoh, let my people go. He had sent nine plagues. The tenth one, he told Moses, when I do this, God's going to, Pharaoh's going to drive you out. He'll drive you out of Egypt. And so God said, I'm going to send the death angel. He's going to pass through Egypt tonight. He's going to kill the firstborn in every house. God told his people to avoid the death angel, kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. When the angel sees the blood on the doorpost, he'll pass over that house and not go into that house and kill the firstborn. And so after the Passover, God established the Feast of the Passover, again, a seven-day celebration, so the people would remember what he did for them in Egypt. Now, in all probability, Mary and Joseph did not take Jesus with them to the Passover feast until he turned 12 years old. I think that if they did, the Bible would have mentioned it. So they probably left him at home with somebody as they went to the feast. But look at verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And we know Jesus was with them because of what's said in the next few verses. When a Jewish boy became 12 years old or turned 12 years old, he became a son of the law. He celebrated his bar mitzvah. The word bar means son, mitzvah means commandment. So he actually became a man in Jewish custom, because at 12 years old, he was responsible on his own. He was responsible for himself. He was responsible for his own person to keep the law. One of the obligations of keeping the law was to observe the Jewish feast. And so Jesus was 12. He became responsible for keeping the law. And so Joseph and Mary took him with them as they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. And it must have been a wonderful time for this little, and I say little, but for this 12-year-old boy. I mean, going through the various ceremonies that was connected with Passover, eating the Passover Paschal meal, hearing his dad Joseph, as was the custom for dads, to tell the Passover story of what Jesus did in Egypt, seeing the crowds of people, seeing the temple in Jerusalem. Never had been there before. And so it must have been a wonderful experience for him. So in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, again, it was a seven-day feast. So at the end of 7 days, the family, they thought it was the whole family, headed back to Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So when they came to Jerusalem, they probably traveled south through Petra. The Samaritans who had the land positioned between Nazareth and Jerusalem. So if they were going to take a direct route from Nazareth to Jerusalem, they would go right through Samaria. But the Samaritans did not like people passing through their land going through Jerusalem. If you were going north from Jerusalem back to Nazareth, they didn't have any problem. But they did not want you going through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus, when they came to Jerusalem, probably went, you know, took a little detour and traveled around Samaria to came to Jerusalem. But on their way home, again, because the Samaritans didn't have any problem, Mary and Joseph probably took a more direct route and went through Samaria. When the people traveled back in that day, they traveled in caravans. They traveled in groups. The women were usually in the front, that followed by the men. And so it's conceivable that Joseph thought, well, Jesus is with his mother. And it's conceivable that Mary thought, well, Jesus is with Joseph. Also, when groups like this traveled, the young boys, the teenagers, often walked together, ran together, played together. And so it was conceivable that that Mary and Joseph thought Jesus, well, he's with his friends from Nazareth. He's with his friends from town. And so they did not worry, and they knew not of it. Verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. So when you travel in a caravan, what happened at night was the families got together. I mean, they ate together and they slept together. And so at the close of the day, Mary and Joseph came together. They thought Jesus would show up, but he didn't. He didn't come. And so they sought him among their relatives, among their kinsmen and their friends. And that word sought means they kept looking. They started a search for their son. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, again, back in this day, it was dangerous to travel at night. So they had made camp. It was night. I sort of think that they waited till the next morning to go back to Jerusalem, that they didn't start out just the two of them back to Jerusalem, especially through Samaria. And they probably, you know, didn't, if they were going to make the long way to through Petra, they probably didn't want to do that at night either. So, again, they were a day away from Jerusalem, a day back to Jerusalem. And when that verse says seeking him, again, it was a continual search. They looked for him probably all day on the third day after they got back to Jerusalem. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, so again, a day away, a day back, a day of searching, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So here he was. They had taken him to the temple to show it to him. Now he was back at the temple. He was sitting in the midst of the doctors, the teachers, those that were experts in the law, those that spent their life studying the law, those that spent their life interpreting the law and helping other people to understand it. He was sitting in the midst of them, again, as a 12-year-old boy that had become a man that was responsible in his own being for his own self to keep the law. He was sitting in this group of teachers, both listening and asking questions. That's how you learn. You listen, and anything you don't understand or anything you want to understand more, you ask questions. And so Jesus, again, having just turned 12, having just become responsible in his own self for keeping the law, was taking this opportunity to sit among the people, the men that knew the law, to hear them teach, to ask them questions about the law. And as a good student, he listened and asked questions. And we see from the next verse that maybe he answered some questions as well, or gave his opinion, because in verse 47, the Bible says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So again, not only were the doctors that were gathered there, but I'm sure there were other people gathered around the teachers listening to them teach. And when they saw this young boy sitting there, listening, asking questions, and then somehow answering questions as well, they were amazed. They were amazed at his unusual insight into the law. They were amazed at his grasp and comprehension. It was beyond anything they'd ever seen before. It was evident that he had been taught well, by his parents, by his teachers back in Nazareth. It was evident that the grace of God was upon him. And again, we saw that back up there in verse 40, where the Bible says, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 48, and when they saw him, again, his parents, Mary and Joseph, and again, I say parents, God was Jesus's dad. Joseph was his earthly father. And so, I'm not taking away from the virgin birth when I say his parents, but and when they saw him, they were amazed. Even his mom and dad were amazed. They were amazed at his grasp of, and his participation in the conversation. They were amazed at the questions that he was asking. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And that word sorrowing means anxiously. And again, when Mary says father, says thy father, she knew that Joseph, again, was just Jesus' earthly dad, that God was his father. And so we can understand Mary and Joseph's anxiety. If you've ever left your kid somewhere, not on purpose, but by accident. If you've ever left your child somewhere, you know how anxious you are to find them. I don't ever remember, and maybe Adam will correct me, but I don't ever remember leaving Adam or Jessica somewhere. I remember one time when we were on one of our trips, Aaron got lost and was gone for a few minutes that seemed like an eternity before we found him. I can remember when I was about four or 5 years old, I can remember it. It's very vivid in my imagination. My parents left my grandmother and I at church. I mean, they just got in the car and left. And my grandmother got a little upset at her son-in-law because we ended up having to walk. They never come back. I mean, we had to walk home. It was a 10-block. It was 10 blocks. I mean, it was in the summertime, and it was still daylight, and I thought it was an adventure. I mean, I was having a good time, but I'm sure my grandmother gave my dad what for leaving her there. I can remember one Sunday night here, an older brother who had just got his driver's license brought his little brother, who was about, I don't know, maybe 6 years old, to church with him on Sunday night, and then left him. And his name was Timmy. I said, "Timmy, where's your brother?" He says, "I don't know." I said, "Did he leave you?" He said, "He must have." And I said, "Come on, I'll take you home." And I took him home. And he didn't even know he left him until he saw his brother getting out of my car. And then his mother got a hold of him, and she reminded him that he had left her. And so we can understand how Mary and Joseph must have felt. I mean, Jesus, again, he was a man, according to Jewish custom. He was responsible for a law, but he was still only 12 years old. And you can understand how anxious they must have felt as they look for him. And so, and we can maybe understand Mary's question a little bit when she says, "Son, why did you treat us this way? Why did you do this to us?" And some people ask the question, well, when Jesus did this, was he disobedient? And of course, the answer is no. If he would have been disobedient to his parents, he would have broken the commandment that said, honor your father and mother, and part of honor is obedience. And so I don't believe he was disobedient. The Bible says over and over, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so I don't believe this was an act of disobedience. There's no evidence that either Mary or Joseph told him, hey, don't stay behind. There's no evidence that they told him, hey, you make sure you're with us. You make sure you're in the party as we go back. And again, he had become a son of the law. He was responsible now for keeping the law himself. And so he was using this opportunity to sit with men that knew the law, that could explain it to him. And he was entering into a new relationship with his heavenly Father, where his primary concern now was with the things of the Father. We see that in his reply when he said unto them, verse 49, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, didn't you know, that I must be about my Father's business? He says, hey, don't you know, Mom, don't you know, Dad, it's necessary for me now to be about my Father's business. It's inherent with me being the Messiah. He didn't say that, but that's what he was implying when he says, I've got to be about my Father's business. And by the way, in his public ministry, he said that often. He didn't use those exact words, but he said this many, many times. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father. I have to be about his business. Why are you surprised? You should have known that. I want you to notice something in verse 49. In the Greek, when he says, my Father's, if you look at the Greek says, the Father of me. The Father of me. He used that phrase a couple different times in talking about himself, but he never used it about anybody else, about any other person. The Father of me. I have to be about his business. I have to be concerned with his will. Now, some say that since, and notice this, Brother Laurel, you'll find this interesting. First recorded words of Jesus. First recorded words here in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. There's no other words that he spoke that are recorded before this. And some people think, well, since this is the first recorded words of Christ, that on this occasion, when he had his bar mitzvah, when he became a son of the law, that was the first time in his life, his 12 years, that he understood the unique relationship that he had with God, that he understood the mission that God had for him. Now, I don't agree with the people that teach that. I think his question to Mary said, Mom, didn't you know? Didn't you know I have to be about my Father's business? I believe as God that Jesus knew that he was God's son. I believe as God that he knew what his mission was. Mary and Joseph didn't understand it yet. They said, and it says in verse 50, and they, his parents, understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They knew about his miraculous birth. They both knew about that. They knew that God was his father. I mean, Gabriel told Mary. The angel told Joseph. Gabriel told Joseph that, you know, he was the son of God. But they didn't really yet understand completely what Jesus meant by the Father's business. See, they were Jews. They were still looking for the Messiah to come. And maybe they thought, perhaps they thought about Jesus, but one day he's going to reign as king. One day he's going to restore the glory to Israel. One day he's going to sit on David's throne. I don't think they had any idea that he was going to go to a cross. I don't think they had any idea that he was going to redeem his people and us and all people by shedding his blood on Calvary. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the king. And when he said, I have to be about my Father's business, they didn't understand completely what he was talking about. Verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So even though he had said, Mom, don't you know, I've got to be about my Father's business. I've got to be about God's business. He went down with them and was subject unto them. So he still was obedient to Mom and Dad. He learned his earthly father's trade. He learned how to be a carpenter. Most Bible scholars think Joseph died when Jesus was about 16 years old. So it would have been 4 years after this event. And that he took over the carpentry business and actually provided for his family until he started his earthly ministry. And so, and it says that Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. And so she added what Jesus said to her. Don't you know, Mom, that I got to be about my Father's business? She added that to what Gabriel told her. She added that to what the shepherds told her. She added that to what Simeon and Anna said in the temple She added what Jesus said and kept all those things in her heart. And then verse 52 is sort of like verse 40. Verse 40 covered 9 years. Verse 52 covers about 18, from the time Jesus was 12 until the time he was about 30 and he started his earthly ministry. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And again, that word increased in the Greek is an interesting word. It means to cut or chop one's way forward. So it's like being in a forest and taking your axe and having to cut away the underbrush to make progress, cut down some trees in order to make a path to get through. What it means is that Jesus worked at learning. He worked at his job of being a carpenter. He just didn't sit back, and because he was God, God took care of everything for him. It means that he lived life as he was God, but he was as a human being. I mean, in order for Jesus to identify with us, he had to go through some of the things that we go through. The death of Joseph, being responsible for the family and being responsible for the family business. And so even though he was God, it wasn't easy. But the Bible says that he grew in favor with God. He was pleasing to God. God looked at how he was living his life as a human being. And he didn't say it, he would say it later. As Jesus began his earthly ministry and as he was in his earthly ministry, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I think he was well pleased in how he grew up. I think he was well pleased in how he studied. I think he was well pleased in how he worked. I think he was well pleased in his humanity as he grew. But it also says that he grew in favor with man, with Mary, with his family, with his town folks. Now, there was going to come a time shortly after this. In fact, we'll start in verse 3, where he was going to rub people the wrong way. But I think he was a pleasant person. I think he was a friendly person. I think people in Nazareth like to come to the carpenter shop and sit and talk with Jesus because he was friendly. He was concerned about him. He expressed interest in what was going on in their life. All God, but all man. And he grew in favor with God and man. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.